We just sang, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds. It holds because it's in Christ. We get through the storms, whether it's a stormy political season or it is the storm of a pandemic or the personal storms that come to us, the losses, the fears, the struggles. We get through those storms by holding on to him, the solid rock, and knowing, most importantly of all, that he holds on to us. Have you felt your grip get a little bit tired this year? Have you felt yourself grow a little weak and wearied this year? Felt a little alone and unsure? When our grip gets weak, when our sureness seems to slip, his grip does not. And he holds on to us. That's what the Apostle Paul discovered, and it's what we too can celebrate as we look at his life and we see Christ holding on to him, Jesus being his solid rock no matter what Paul faced, and knowing that he's the solid rock for you and for me no matter what we face. I think it's been consistent throughout Scripture, whether it's Jesus telling us, don't be surprised when trials and temptations come your way, when Jesus telling you in this world you will have trouble. I don't think it's any surprise. Scripture's very consistent and very realistic, telling us that trials are going to come. In fact, if we're followers of Christ, they're very likely to be very much expected just for that reason alone. But it is through Jesus that the Apostle Paul could endure all those trials. It's also through Jesus that you and I can endure the trials that we face, the difficulties we go through. As Paul was getting ready to go and face his last trial, going to Jerusalem and from there being sent to Rome to stand before the Caesar, the emperor of the whole civilized world at that time, he wrote spoke these words that we have recorded for us in Acts chapter 20, verse 19. He said, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. From that moment forward, Paul faced attacks of crowds, beatings, a shipwreck that nearly took his life and the life of everyone on board, the 246 lives that were on board the ship in which he was sailing. And we faced our own storms. The elections, the protests, the difficulties, the pandemic, and the weariness and the isolation that comes with all of it. What we have, though, is that promise, is that the Lord who served us and gave his life on a cross for us, the one who promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, the one who even said, blessed are you when you are persecuted, endure trials of all kinds because of me, I'll be with you. Your reward will be great. Your peace will be strong. In fact, it's peace, I think, that's a really important legacy of Paul's life and a really important reminder for all of us as well. We're not going to find true peace in whether one certain political party's ruling over another. We're not going to find it whether our economy's up or down. You're not going to have it depending on the medications all being right and balanced in our lives. The only true peace that we are going to find is in Jesus Christ. Only in him. Only in him, whether our paycheck's big or small, whether our struggles are small or great, only in him can we have that peace, that stability. Here's how Paul tries to describe that in Ephesians chapter 2, one of his sweetest letters. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside the flesh and the law and its commandments. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, One new humanity. Jesus's purpose was to bring you peace, to unite us with each other here in his church family, and to give us strength to get over the rocky roads and the tough times. Paul even goes on in that same passage and says, you and I are not strangers and foreigners. We are fellow citizens with God's people and also the member of his household. No matter what flag ever flies, when we find Christians around the world and they celebrate the Christ who has brought peace in their hearts, we've found our family. No matter where we go in the country, as we see the cross and we see the love of Jesus show through those people, God is reminding us our real citizenship is in heaven. Jesus is our real ruler and the cornerstone of our lives. It's not our security systems we can buy for our homes or our country's laws, doctors. Nothing other than God himself is the bringer and keeper of our peace. But with that in mind, I think one of the things that I want to put before us as we get ready to come close to the close of this year. And some of us, as we look at our birth certificates or the birthday on our driver's license, realize we're closer to our own end than we are to the beginning. I wonder if we might think what we want our legacy to be. What we want our individual legacy to be. What we want Gethsemane's legacy to be. What do we want that? Well, we have to remember that in the midst of it, it's not always so easy because we're in a context of terrible times. The Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Timothy, his last recorded letter that we have, his last plea, reminds us that there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be, see if this doesn't sound like the world today, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, and without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, we look good. We can look good on the outside, but if we really care about our legacy, if we really care about living out, making a difference with the grace we've received through Jesus, then it's going to be more than just a form or an outward appearance of niceness or godliness. It'll be more. It'll be deeper. Deeper as it was for the Apostle Paul. When you think, and we don't often do this, when we think with the end in mind, what do I want my children to say about me? What do I want my grandchildren to remember about me? When the members of my church family gather at my funeral and they're talking and sharing stories, what do I want them to remember? Now that seems like a real downer, I suppose, to talk about that. But as I've said a couple of times to you, the last time I checked the statistical reports, the mortality rate is still hovering at about 100%. It's worthwhile for us to think about it. It's worthwhile because if we want to make a difference with this one and only season we have here in earthly life, we'll think about what we want to do. Even in these terrible times. And one of the simplest things I think we can do, friends, is to shine. In these dark times, when there is so much trouble, in these dark days, it doesn't take but a little crumb of kindness, a little light of gospel love, a little flicker of faith and hope, and staying peaceful in uncertain times. It doesn't take much. I think another thing for us is we hear Paul's words that were shared there before is when he said the time for his departure was near, he knew it. He could look back and because he had been aiming so much at Jesus Christ and sharing his grace, then he could say very simply, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I find myself once in a while drawn into a fight. What color should the carpet be? Right? How are we going to spend this dollar? We can have those, whether it's a church family or it's a home family. We can have those arguments and fights. I wonder if we could catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, before I get really into this argument, is this the good fight? Is this one that's really worth it? Is this something to do with life and death, with God's kingdom and eternal things? Is this the good fight to fight? Plenty of fights we can engage in, plenty of causes we can support. But are we fighting the good fight? The race. There's the race to the top in terms of being popular or rich. There's the race to the bottom in terms of being snarky and cutting everyone else down and judging them all. But are we in the good race, the right race? Are we looking at all people, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, of every stripe and creed? Are we looking at them all with the same eyes that Jesus did? Do we see the human race as Jesus did? Do we love as he loved? Are we in that race? And are we seeking not just to, I started it, not just to, you know, I did it for a while, but all the way to the end, I was faithful. All the way to the end, I had my eyes fixed on Jesus. I can say that I have kept the faith. We'll have times we go backwards. We'll have times when we go sideways. But the more we keep our eyes on him, the more we are able to be successful at that. I love one last personal thing to share from Paul's stories, and it really strikes me that the way he stayed so focused was through God's word. And it might have seemed like just a little toss-off at the end of the epistle reading, but when he says in that last verse, when you go, get my cloak and the scrolls. Get my scrolls, not just the scrolls, my scrolls, and especially the parchments. You know, can I paraphrase that for us in today's world? I left my Bible behind, my favorite Bible, the one I've underlined all of the most meaningful passages. I left it there to strengthen the pastor in that city. Bring me my favorite Bible. Bring me that word that I treasure. Give me that which was the first Bible I had, the most precious, the one I dug the deepest into God's word, the one that kept me on the path in the race. Paul loved God's word, and he was guided by it. And when you and I also love that word, it gets so much clearer to love Jesus above all things and so much clearer to love the people around us. Well, as we strive to do this, may we stay strong in God's grace. The same words that the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy, let them be spoken to us and our race, no matter whether this is our final day today or we have years to come. You then, my son or my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard and said, heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable people. Stay strong in the grace, dear friend. Stay strong in the love. And let us, God's word, keep us strong in that always. Amen.